That's why.
Change it back.
Hold on, hold on, hold on. Okay, that's why we didn't have an echo, because Pulse Audio muted the speaker. And when
Pulse
you mute the speaker, you don't get an echo. See, one of the big differences here is that in the past I had a different sound card. I'm not sure that this sound card is separating the channels like it should. It's like, well, anyway, we'll talk about that
Kick
later.
It off.
Let's start it off here. All right, five. Five. You know what? Actually, let me hear some words from you guys first. I don't want to belabor this anymore, but I don't want you guys sounding
words,
like
words,
crap.
Words, words, words. Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Sibilance, sibilance. Syphilis, syphilis.
Testing, yeah. One,
it's
two,
dead
three,
air brought to you by
CLLTS.
iPhone.
Testing, one, two, three, test.
Which we
can't
talk about, but you know.
But, okay, testing, one, two, three. I just don't want to be higher than everybody else, and it looked like I was higher there from everybody else. All right, let's whack this pack.
Kick is big.
Do it like a thing in your thing. And, all right, here we go. Mute yourselves briefly. I'm going to play us in. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Psst, psst, oi, over here. You want to buy this? It's the center of the open source universe. I picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner. It's a bargain. Oi! Oi, come back! Oh. I'm going to have to find something to do with this. Hold on a minute. Yes, that's right. On the 1st and 2nd of May this year, Liverpool is the only place to be for anyone interested in free software, free culture, and free thinking. It's the second live OggCamp event, organised by the Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. We've taken the mantle from Lug Radio Live and we're not giving it back. The 1st and 2nd of May 2010 at the Blackie, Liverpool. Visit oggcamp.org for more details. Also join us on Friday, April 30th for a special free culture gig. Kick off the weekend in style with some great live music. But you might want to leave your hubcaps at home.
Join us for the 2010 Southeast Linux Fest as we once again celebrate Linux and open source software in the GNU/South. Due to the overwhelming response last year, this year's event will be bigger, better, and longer. SELF 2010 will take place Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th at the Spartanburg Marriott at Renaissance Park in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Be there for UbuCon, Fedora Activity Day, BSDA certification, Drupal Camp, multiple parties featuring Dual Core as well as the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000 as Riff Tracks, and an even more expansive group of superb speakers, sponsors, and exhibitors. SELF is free to attend, but hurry and register today to lock in the special discount room rate at the hotel. Register today at southeastlinuxfest.org.
1, 2, 3,
Texas!
Thank you.
Eagle Showtime!
It's a Linux and Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bat. For the show link, go direct to DLNTS.org. And IC channel is a LinuxTech.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
Finally.
Another exciting episode of Linux Think Tech Show.
Yay!
In the garbage cans.
350 what? Episodes.
In the garbage cans. Start
you
off.
Know what? We don't do this for audio quality. We do this for content quality.
Sometimes yeah. Well, we're trying to improve the audio quality. It's a late start. Huh. Well, what the cause of the late start, and of course people listening to the recording will never know that we started late, but for those people out there listening live, all, how many of you are there? Like 40 or 50? I don't know. We're trying to play around with different codecs and stuff on the Asterisk side, and unfortunately that caused some issues in kicking off the adventure. But, so we got the show going. If you what you didn't hear prior to this was my little bit of a rant against Pulse Audio, because it throws another layer in there. So volume control exists across three different channels here. You got the volume control in Audacity for controlling the recording audio. You got the volume control in the Ulsa Mixer, which you can adjust. And then if you use Pulse, you got the PAUV control, which that has audio settings in it too. And you mess with one and it messes with all the others, and it's just,
it's not,
it is I don't know. It's such a,
we should just use Jack, right, Pat?
Yeah, I'm for getting rid of Pulse Audio from Linux once and for all. It's like a cancer that's just freaking spreading. I don't know what? Who initially had the hard-on for it, but it sucks, man.
What I find annoying is if you type in Ulsa Mixer and it does your standard device, like on my standard device right here, I have two channels. I have master and capture on my device. But if I type in Ulsa Mixer C0, which is card 0, the first card, which is the same as Ulsa Mixer, which Pulse Audio is using, apparently, I have like master, headphone, PCM, front, and those are my input channels, or my output channels. Then I have like three input channels, and then all sorts of other crap. I have no idea what it is. So there's a disconnect there. And then if you pull up PAVU control, there's just all sorts of wacky crap going on. So it's not easy. And I look at my Arch system, and all I have is two devices. The audio card and the Emezzo and the USB audio I came in on, and I never have a problem with that, which I'm thinking, should I just install Arch on the System 76? I don't know.
I've had all sorts of issues. I'm calling in on a regular phone tonight. My ISP, I think, is pulling shenanigans on me, and I think they're throttling my up connections. I backed up to an Amazon S3 account over the weekend, and I pushed up like 200 gig worth of data. So I think they might have seen it and got pissed at me. And I called up their tech support, and I asked them point blank, are you throttling me? Because I saw an article saying that RCN is starting to do this stuff. For people that do BitTorrent, no, I wasn't doing BitTorrent. I was just doing a remote backup.
You should have gotten an email about that too, because I got an email on that as well from them.
About what?
About their the class action suit.
Yeah, it's bullshit. It's bullshit is what it is. So, you know, I asked them point blank, are you throttling me? Like, oh, no. I'm like, well, what's the problem then? It's, you know, I'm supposed to be getting 800 kilobits up, and I'm not even getting 1 kilobit up. It's like 0.75 kilobits up. It's horrible. And I'm like, if that's the case, just tell me that, you know, come the first of the month, you'll reset it and it'll be back up to the normal. They didn't want to say that. They basically, the guy who I called basically said that, you know, oh, we see that you have your own device. Now, I have my own modem. I own it myself. I had it for a bunch of years. Modem's perfectly fine as far as I could tell. I just logged into the modem. You can go in, you know, directly through a web browser and run a bunch of diagnostics on it. There's nothing wrong with it. So there's nothing wrong with the modem. I checked, I'm thinking maybe it was my router, and I plugged my laptop directly into the cable modem. Same exact deal. So I think what I'm going to have to do is call them back and maybe get a level 2 technician who actually knows what the hell he's talking about and try to get them to admit that that's what they're doing. But it's crap, you know. Knowing the terms of service, do they say that you can't do a remote backup of any kind, you know?
Like, it's going to be more common nowadays, I'm thinking.
Well, there was an article in Ars Technical about RCN, who I have, and they mentioned them, that they're doing throttling for people that are doing BitTorrent. But I wasn't doing BitTorrent. I was just doing a plain old backup, you know?
Just the FTP or the SCP, huh?
It just pisses me off that they pull crap, man. You know,
you know what?
We pay enough on internet connections, you know?
Pat, it's what? It's already April 21st? Come on. You've used enough bandwidth this month. Give everybody else a chance.
What do you think this is, freaking Australia?
I mean, come on, you know? The whole point of doing a remote backup is, God forbid, your house burns down to the fucking ground. You still got, you know, your, like, precious memories of, like, family photos and, you know, important documents that you've digitized, you know?
So are you getting any bandwidth at all?
I get my full bandwidth down, but up, it's completely throttled. I barely get 1 kilobit up.
Did they tell you to reboot your machine?
No, they didn't even say that. They said, oh, I see there's a flag on your modem. I'm like, what do you mean there's a flag? Well, you know, you have your own device, so we can't go in and do a diagnostic on it. That's basically what he said to me. So maybe it's a scam for them to try to get me to spend $5 a month extra to rent a cable.
You know what? I got a modem from Time Warner, and I'll never go to owning my own, just because I've had, at least 4 different modems in the last, you know, ever since I had broadband.
I've had this modem since, like, I moved into this house, and we're going on, like,
10 years?
Going on 8 years I've had that thing. It works fine. I think it do 40 gigabit down, and I think 10 up it can handle.
Actually, it may be worth, do they do support DOCSIS 3 yet?
I have no idea.
It may be worth buying a new one. Seriously. Yeah. But
no, I don't think RCN does that out here.
Well, I think my battery's going to run out on this phone. I might have to jump off for a second. Hop, come back, Ken.
I thought that was Link's heart monitor.
Well, that's me. That's my fault. I'm gonna hang up and jump back in, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. That's when we can talk about Apple.
Yeah, I saw. I didn't actually look at this yet. I'm gonna bring it up now.
I'm gonna jump off. I'll be right back.
Alright.
Okay, here's the deal. I've been following this all week for a lot more than
your. You're Cyloning, dude.
Am I Cyloning? Hold on. Let me hang up and reconnect.
All right. Well, while he's hanging up and restarting, I was going to say something because something came to my mind as that was going on, and Alan, we're
totally
the crickets,
about
man. Yeah, I know.
Now you know how I feel.
I got some bad news, some semi-bad news. I wanted to tell you guys in an email, but I figured I'll just tell you now when there's only one of you, Alan. Unfortunately, it's not really bad news, but for the next 6 months, my wife is back in school again, which means she's gone on Wednesday nights, unfortunately.
Oh, fun.
So I might have to pop on and off. In case, you know, to beat the kids or something when they're on.
Got to drown the kids every now and then.
And, yeah, so...
That's cool. What's she going back to school for?
She's going back for her esthetician's license. She first got her... She passed her esthetician's classes and everything, and when she was in Allentown, she took the course there. And she was on the route to getting her license, and she had a bad experience in a spa, and that kind of frosted her, so she dropped it, and then we moved down here. She found out she could transfer some of the credits, like half the credits for what she did. So she has to make some credits up, but then she has to do 50 hours of training and of clinic work.
Massaging the homeless.
Yeah, well, no, yeah, not the homeless. Well, actually, after she does her 50 hours, she can, you know, get paid for doing it then. So they were like, you know, if you go, because she's technically working at both the school and the spa that the school owns that she graduated from massage therapy, they're essentially saying, well, you know, we'll take the tuition out of your paycheck, and so she's just, you know, getting the classes in, and they're really hot to get her into doing esthetician work too. So,
now what exactly work? I'm not familiar with that.
An esthetician works with the skin and primarily does facials and extractions of blackheads and pimples and stuff. Something that women apparently love to do, a lot of women. I don't know any guys that love to pop pimples, but women apparently, a lot of them do. There's a significant number of them that find that very fascinating. But, yeah, so...
I didn't realize there was that many.
Yeah, so she can get... She get massage and esthetician work in, and she'll have the dual whammy and be able to get more work on a regular basis.
Cool.
So, you know, yeah, good for her. She's happy. I just tell her, go make me the money. Yeah, go make me the money.
Make the money. I don't want to work anymore.
No, I enjoy my job right now. I don't enjoy the project management software. I'm getting better at it. The last time we talked about it, you know, speaking of beating a dead horse, I was primed a couple days later to start checking out the project management capabilities of Sugar CRM, but since then I have been so busy I have not had the opportunity. There was somebody in the IRC earlier today, I forget his name, but he had said to me, he thought I was talking about the ideas of getting projects off the ground and the initial brainstorming for those, and had suggested MindMap software, and I think the one he said he liked was XMind. I have looked into some of that, and I find them interesting, but that wasn't exactly what I wanted to do. So I will keep that in mind to check out in more detail. But that's where I am at that. How you doing, Alan?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Copying some shit up. As we're talking here, I'm copying some shit up to the droid. Some myth stuff that I recorded. I finally got that recording stuff working for me. Found out that I need to put the restricted repositories, and I can't remember what it is now. Mediabuntu repository. Yeah, once I put that package on, and all of a sudden my recording started to work. So that
Wait,
was a good
who
thing.
Who was that?
Me.
Who?
Todd.
What? Oh, you sound completely different.
Yeah, I'm on my cell phone actually now.
I was like, who the heck is that? Like, it didn't sound like you.
Completely different there.
So you sound different now?
Your voice sounded a little different. Your voice sounds a little higher now for some reason. But no, it's fine.
Okay.
I was like, what the heck is going on there? Who was that?
I'm actually, instead of holding the cell phone up to my head and getting my brain blasted with radiation, I'm using the headphones that came with the Nexus One. Besides having these little controllers for like audio playback and stuff, you can also use it for your phone calls. It has a little microphone built into the little controller on it. So,
I mean, you sound good.
That's a plus. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, well, that's good.
Yeah,
you got back, and Gorkon's dead.
What are they doing, packet shaping on him again?
I don't know. He started breaking up, so he disconnected and was going to reconnect again. Yeah, maybe they figured that he's had enough of his bandwidth this month too. But you were going off before you hung up.
Oh, it's horrible, man. Pisses me off. You know, I read all their documents, like their end-user license agreements and crap, and nowhere does it state that there's, like, a data cap anywhere, or that you can't do, like, off-site backups of any kind.
When they said that there was a flag on your modem, how did they figure that out?
I was at work, and I really couldn't talk very long to them, so I didn't get all the details. What I plan to do...
I'm gonna call them back when I'm home, and then I'm gonna bust balls and ask to get bumped to like a level 2 technician. Because the people on the level 1 calls, they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
They got some old lady out there with a flag in her hand as a crossing guard, directing your bits.
Probably.
What were you gonna say there, Alan?
Well, I was gonna say they can tell because when they ping the modem, it doesn't come back with like any address that they know or you know exists. So not in their system. So they say you own your own. So.
Well, I mean, they told him he had a flag on there. I'd be like interested to know how they figured out he had a flag on there.
And exactly.
If they can see he has a flag on there, he should be able to see he has a flag on there.
Yeah, but when you got that modem, you had to authorize that modem with him when you got the service. So
yeah.
That's how the
yeah.
flag is there. Yeah, so they know that it comes up and just says that, hey, he owns his own modem. So it saves them a whole lot of problems worrying about trying to fix anything. You just go, oh, sorry, it's your modem.
Yeah, that's the spiel they gave me. Oh, we can't help you because it's not one of our modems.
That's really... You know, it's always something, isn't it? It's
bullshit is what it is.
You know, you'll go like, okay, fine. I'll go get one of your modems. Send me one of your modems. Just still have the throttle, whatever's going on. And it'd be like, well, what are you running? Well, I'm running Linux. Well, you got to run Windows. And then you go like, well, you got to run Windows with Internet Explorer. And
Internet Explorer 6, to be exact.
Yeah.
No, actually, RCN's pretty good about that. They won't help you over line, but if the text has to come out to you on, if you tell them you're running Linux, they show up with their own laptop. So you know they'll figure out everything from there, and then let you screw it up later on. Because I used to have that problem when I lived over in Bethlehem. Well, I know that, but you know they leave you on your own at that point. Because when I was in Bethlehem and having all the problems with the modems all the time, I kept telling them, you know, I was like, you know, the tech has to bring his own laptop. I said because we don't run Windows here. It's no problem. So
you don't run Windows. So, Alan. Then you're running Apple.
It isn't so. And that was actually the question usually after that, too. And I was like, no.
Sir,
and
we
by
don't
then,
support
the first level,
T-Tech.
Well, usually at that point, the first level techs, I always got transferred up.
Yeah, I think that's the buzzword that you say Linux or Mac, and they'll bump you up.
Well, I also may have had to be, because I was calling for the same problem over and over again, so I think I had the notes attached to my file that just said, oh, it's the same thing again, you know, just, they kept transferring me up. You do, there are a few of the RCN techs that are good, I think, that don't spout the company line all the time.
It just pisses me off, man, you know? It's nonsense.
Damn.
Oh, you're back.
Freaking Akaigo is, like, not wanting to work for me.
Corcon returns.
He's back.
Anyway.
Hurry up. Call Comcast to throttle his bandwidth. He slipped through.
Use Gizmo. Why don't you use Gizmo? Akaigo's
I did. I don't have it installed right now. I'm going to try Linphone after the show. Anyway, did you guys finish talking about the phone? iPhone?
No, no. We just dropped the subject waiting for you to come back.
Okay. Here we go. Basically, what's happened is there's this Apple engineer who went out to a bar, drank a few beers, and for some stupid reason, he took a prototype of the iPhone 4G with him, hidden in a case that made it look like a iPhone 3GS.
Well, it wouldn't
and
be a stupid reason. Dude, that wouldn't be a stupid reason. That would be actually just testing.
Yeah, well...
They do that all the time.
Right, but they don't go get drunk and leave it sit on a bar stool for some idiot to find.
Well, that's his fault there, but yeah, they just wear phones
and worse.
Take them out testing all the time.
It gets worse though. Somebody finds it, asks like doesn't turn it into the owner of the bar. He asks the people around it if it's their phone, and then he takes it, and then they figure out what it is, and then they sell it to Gizmodo or Gawker Media for, I think I've heard $5,000 and I've heard $10,000. And then not only does Gawker, you know, post a huge expose on it, they also post the name of the guy.
Who sold it to him?
No, the name of the guy who lost it.
No, the guy who lost it.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow. It keeps getting better and better. And, of course, everybody has picked it up. You'd have to be buried under a rock to not know this story. No. You may not know the whole story, but you at least have heard that the design snuck out. So...
I'm one of those people who didn't hear anything.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. My head's been up.
Must have been up your ass or something. Anyway, I mean, this just goes to show, one, how secretive Apple likes to think they be, and two, why, you know, if they just choose an open model, then they wouldn't have to worry about that kind of security, you know, at least not as much anyway. I don't know. But
I think the open and closed model doesn't make a difference there. They would still be worrying about the security portion of it, because you don't want to announce your stuff before you can make a big splash with it.
Yeah, I guess.
You don't want somebody. You don't want a blog scooping your PR stuff.
But here I'm looking at, though, is this actually for real? I'm still doubting that it's for real. I think Apple pulled this off as a stunt, and I bet you this guy, this developer, will probably walk the phone out on stage to Steve Jobs when they go to introduce it for real. I bet you they will.
They'll be laughing.
They will do that. Oh, yeah.
Tony,
yeah,
fucking
that's what'll happen. Because to some people, this developer, as
good,
idiotic
Pat.
As he was, is a cult hero.
Fucking cock block.
Yeah. But to some people, this guy's a cult hero. So.
Who's a cult hero? Steve Jobs?
No, this developer. You know, for letting the world know about the iPhone, getting one over on Apple. Ha 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 ha. Anyway.
Did they fire him?
Nothing's known yet on that.
Yeah, no one knows about that yet.
But, there's some new... now that that's all done with, let's talk a little bit about Android. like that was going to be a freaking surprise. About 2 different phones... Well, there's been stuff on and off about the HTC Incredible for a while, but Verizon Wireless on April 29th is going to release the Droid Incredible, which is a lot like a Nexus One with an 8 megapixel sensor on this camera phone, and very, very nice.
So it's got a nicer camera on there.
A nicer camera, a little bit different looking casing. I don't think it's... I think it's different than Nexus One. I think it has a smaller screen. This one looks,
but it is
looks
HTC.
More like a Desire. Right. HTC Droid. Incredible. Android 2.1 HTC Sense. 1 gigahertz processor. 8 gigabytes of onboard memory. This is the first Android phone to have integrated memory. 8 megapixel camera and 30,000 apps, whatever. So, but then another phone that was announced, and I actually just got an update on that story too, on T-Mobile, the 3G or MyTouch 3G Slide.
So is that going to have a faster processor than the current one?
Yeah, specs I think is supposed to be 600 megahertz. It's not. It's a ARM 11 chip. Rumored, but now I need to find this. A friend of mine. We've both been coveting this phone, but since it looks like to be probably a better phone than any of the Android phones that they have now, considering the Click and the Click XT aren't nothing to write home about. but I'm digging to get a new phone myself. G1, I like my G1 still.
You definitely want a phone with a slide-out keyboard?
Not sold on it. You know, if T-Mobile, I may end up waiting anyway, just because there's going to be more phones coming out this year. I am eligible right now for a regular upgrade, but if I wait till my contract's up in December, then I could even switch carriers if I needed to. I'd probably switch to Verizon.
If I did switch, I would switch
to Verizon.
I don't think I'd want a phone without a slide-out keyboard anymore. I
like my slide-out keyboard.
Yeah, the on-screen keyboard, it works all right, but I tend to spend more time backspacing and getting rid of the M instead of the M that I type.
You know what? That was my fear going to the Nexus, that I would hate not having a keyboard. Uh-huh. But honestly, I've gotten used to it.
You know what I think makes a difference, Pat? You know what I think makes a difference on that? The bigger screen.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I think that's the big difference. Cause
the touch screen is better than on the... on the G1.
Yeah, G1, I could one thumb it with the on screen fairly decently, although I still occasionally will mistype. But it's a lot better. The on screen keyboard that I have on it now with Cyanogen is a lot better than what it originally came in Cupcake. So, because Cyanogen has good stuff. It actually, I think Cyanogen has instructions on the website to install the HTC input program. So, but of course, I just found out from my friend Francis that the MyTouch 3G slide is delayed until June. So, which is okay because I probably will have to wait till June anyway after I blow my wad itself.
I hope it's just money. If it isn't, I ain't eating those Chex Mix.
Oh, that would be me before that. Anyway.
He'll be blowing his wad before that? Oh, God.
I don't know if I'm eating that Chex Mix, man.
So. In Google News this week, too, not Android related, is the Google Chrome OS printing to the cloud. Who's going to do that? That's all I got to say. I mean... I think they're trying to come up with a way to make Chrome OS be more than what it is. Which Chrome OS is a Linux kernel and a browser. And that's about it. So,
it almost sounds like that... I'd be curious to see how, and I looked over this document or the link. Did you post the link in the
IRC? Yes, I can.
You did post the link. I find it interesting because printing. When you have a printing issue, you usually only have it once. I mean, at least that's my case. I don't know about other people, but. Like when I move my computer at work or something, or get a new computer, or we switched floors and I needed to set up for the printers. I mean, it was pretty much dead simple to set up through CUPS, you know, the admin interface through CUPS. And I know that is a big to do in system administration, with having to set up printers and make them easily accessible. Doing it in Windows, I've always found to be a kludge and a pain in the butt, and rather annoying.
Well, you gotta install printer drivers on Windows, and you don't have to do any of that crap with Linux. It's
but what I find interesting is they're saying, instead of running the printer driver on the client computer, they're dumping it for lack of a better word, the server or the cloud device out there that would speak directly to the printer. So you would send the document itself would go to the cloud application, which would then send it right to the printer. And I was just curious about how they would actually be able to handle all that. And that will require that whatever it is to have some kind of... you still have to have some kind of driver, I would assume, on the workstation.
Right.
To be able to send it. I mean,
a PPD or something, you know.
Yeah, to send it there. And I was just thinking, well, how would they actually do it? But why wouldn't it just go straight to PostScript? You know, just send PostScript across, because that's, if I'm not mistaken, is that still the universal printer language, PostScript?
Somewhat universal. If I remember right, doesn't Adobe still own some copyright on a PostScript?
I don't know.
I thought they did.
I thought. There's PostScript and there's PCL.
PCL's HP.
And is that... That's only used by HP products or the Xerox Lexmark?
I know Xerox for a fact supports it, as does ConocoMinolta, you know, on the big side. You know, at work, I am also responsible for setting up production printing we're basically doing distributed production printing, what little we do now. We do, like our payroll department, they print 80 paychecks. It's basically just the new employees they print one for. They don't print direct deposits anymore. And I'm trying to think the other bigger. We got transcripts that printed, and purchase orders, and that's pretty much it. I mean, there's still some other checks, too, but... You know, so that now I'm actually working on recommendation for production printing at work now, and right now I really haven't found anything open that will do what I wanted to do. Our ERP system actually pumps out a straight LPR, and there's no way from the program to actually insert like logos and signatures and crap like that. So I have to have something that does some sort of post processing afterwards. Not to mention the fact it has to be dead easy, because basically once I set this up, I want it to be done. I don't want to have to mess with it. I wanted to have the server just run. So, right now, much to my chagrin, I'm looking at a software package that runs on Windows called Planet Press. It's actually pretty spiffy. It's actually a pretty nice program. It'll accept the LPR input. It has a nice designer. About the only thing I don't like about it is it has the Office 2007 style to the interface. You know, it has this stupid little bubble in the upper left-hand corner. And other than that, it works. It works. It's just learning how to design it and stuff like that. That's the other thing, too, is I would also be the one designing the forms. And to be honest, I'm not... I mean, I can do it. I'm actually pretty good at it, but I don't have the time to really spend on it to make things look really good, if you know what I mean. So it just kind of gets half-assed done, and I'm eventually going to get some other people trained so I don't have to do it. Then all I have to do is manage the server component, maybe set up the flows. But this Planet Press stuff is pretty neat, because I can actually take one job and I can have it duplicate the stream and create a PDF on one side and send it to the printer on the other. Then on the other side, I can also have it email that PDF. I can have it send that PDF to our document management system. I can pretty much do whatever I need to do. And they're really, and because this is, you know, printing is kind of a boring area to write programs in, it just doesn't get the attention in open source. And that's like one of those things where if I ever came into a lot of money, that's probably one of those areas that I would probably try and, you know, fix myself.
What?
Or
printing?
Start a project. Yeah, well, just make it easier to do something like what I'm doing now at work.
How much more difficult do you think that would be to do it in CUPS? To set up a CUPS server to handle that?
I'd have to figure out how am I going to inline the graphics, plus I'd have to have some sort of graphical design tool to help me lay out the data and the graphics on the form. And that I don't really think you could do it with CUPS. You might be able to. I mean, if there's one way. If I could figure out the PCL control codes, and basically figure out how to take a graphic and compress that into a binary stream and pump it into the program, have the programmers pump it into the program, then we can probably do it. But then they'd be the ones that have to actually figure out the layout and stuff like that. And again, they don't really have the time to do that either. So that's why we kind of need this tool. The bad thing is this tool is kind of expensive. Well, the first outlay is kind of expensive, but just to pick up the tool, it's $13,000. The maintenance is about $1,000 or so a year, which is really not horrible. There's others that are more expensive. Like, there was one option was, now everything's currently done in a print language called VIP, which is a Xerox proprietary extension to PostScript. And that one requires files to be installed on a hard drive that resides on these big Xerox production printers. And basically, all I do with our print server is I lay in one line of code at the top, and then it just does its thing. Other option in that project is another product which costs $40,000, which will actually attempt to convert the VIP to like PostScript or PCL and then send it out in that way. But the only downside to that is I'd still need the Xerox development tool. So, and that $40,000 to me is just ridiculous for all I need to do. I need to print 7 jobs from this ERP system and have them come out and look good. What? First off, the real good question is, why does the ERP system not just handle it from the get-go? You know? So, like, if we ran Oracle, you can load up their document tool and do it that way. Which I used that, like, back in the Oracle 6 days when I took a class in Oracle 6. But print sucks. You know, and if you listened to Shot of Jack this week, they had that exact subject on there, where Jono said printing is bollocks. It's usually not the software. Usually not the software, but sometimes it is. But it's usually the hardware. And I'm done.
Again, I usually don't have problems with printers.
Right. Well, my problems right with the printers is just my ERP print subsystem is freaking archaic. So I got
it. My only problem is my wife keeps running it out of paper on me all the time.
At home I don't print at all, to be honest.
She keeps printing off those life-size pictures of
Timmy crap, yeah.
Does she really?
No, because this is the laser jet that you gave me.
Oh, the one that dims the lights?
The one that dims the lights, yeah.
Who gave you a laser jet?
Isn't that Link that gave it to you?
I did?
Yeah, out of the back of your car one time.
Is that the one that, like, the lights in your house dim when you're printing off paper?
Yeah, everything on the same. Yeah,
are you sure that wasn't
circuit.
Link?
I think it was Link.
No, sir, it came out of the trunk of your car.
My car?
Yeah, I got the numbers on it to prove it.
Oh, did I get it from work?
Yeah, it was one of the ones I guess they were checking out at work.
Oh.
It worked.
You know what? The problem I have with the printer is my kids go through the paper too, but I have a stack of paper next to it. For some reason, they decide that they want to take the printer paper out of the printer and leave the drawer open and walk off the color on it.
Uh-huh. So, let's go to Dan's topic of the week. Window manager and desktop.
Yeah, you know what? I was kind of like thinking about this the other day, because you know people are always talking about window managers and desktops, and one person's always recommending X, Y, or Z. You know, like Peter 64 a couple months ago was just going all batshit crazy about Awesome, and he still does. He thinks Awesome is totally awesome, and he said, you know, you got to really try Awesome because it is. It is, and I tried it out, and you know, I found that Awesome was good. I liked it. But I find myself invariably, no matter what desktop environment or window manager I use, I invariably come back to Fluxbox. And for me, Fluxbox has just been the mainstay for the majority of my experience under Linux. I mean, I have three systems right now in front of me. Two running Arch, one running Ubuntu. All three are running Fluxbox. My workstation at work is running Fluxbox. And I just dig Fluxbox like crazy. It's, for me, it's the fastest and easiest to get running, and it doesn't have all, it doesn't clutter up my desktop, because, again, I'm not one, I do not like icons on the desktop. That's not my bag. I find that when I go out and look at stuff like Unix porn and other people's desktops, I do enjoy the neat little widgets and stuff that they get on there. And I say, I want mine to look like that too, so I bring up some widgets, usually like a system monitor or something like that, and a clock, and I have those on there, and after a while I really get sick of them because they're just cluttering up my desktop. When I look at the desktop, I either want to see the application I'm running or my wallpaper, which most of the time I like to have the wallpaper switch around, but I've even kind of stopped doing that because it's just... Sometimes when you run in a different colored terminal with transparency, it doesn't work too well. But I've even stopped running transparencies on it. But for me, Fluxbox has that perfect balance of just speed, ease of use functionality, and...
Joel.
Ease of use functionality, and for, you know, lack of features. There's not a lot of features I want out of my window manager. It's just perfect for me. When I switched to Arch on the Mezzo, I installed the standard Fluxbox system that I'm used to, along with FB Pager, and...
I guess he's trying to reconnect.
Did he drop off?
Yeah, he did.
Okay. With Fluxbox, with FB Pager, but FB Pager's not in Arch standard, and Fluxter was in there, and I realized that, by and large, I don't really use a pager. You know, I spend most...
Give it up, Joel.
Seriously, man.
I spend most of my time, you know, just using keyboard commands to switch between the desktops. They rotate around. The last desktop wraps to the first, and the first wraps to the last. And I use FB run at the hotkey for the...
Sounds good, Joel.
To bring up my launcher, I never really find myself using a menu anymore. The desktop, the window manager menu, I never find myself using that. I do like to have a few applications in the slit down there that are running the little widgets, like Wicked. I find Wicked to be like the I find Wicked to be the penultimate network manager application.
Now he's really ruining the show.
I think he might have been disconnected, and he's trying to get back on again, and he still has some kind of connection in there, so let me see if he's actually still got a connection going.
Kick his ass, man. Drop him.
And I'll drop his connection, that way he can get back in without causing that problem again. Anyway, I really like Network Wicked. I didn't get there yet. I was still trying to bring it up to...
Oy.
Ave. All right. So anyway, I like to have that kind of stuff running in the terminal. I mean, not in the terminal, in the slit.
Joel really wants us to like edit the show, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm gonna have a lot of time editing this show. Let me see. Okay, look, he's in there three times. That's why. Hold on. Let me hang up on him on all three. He keeps trying to reconnect when I hang up, I think. All right, he's gone now. Next time he pops in, we shouldn't have that shotgun effect. Anyway, all right, so Fluxbox, I like it for what it provides me with, just enough for me to do what I want to do. It doesn't do auto-mounting of devices when I plug them in, and I don't care about that because I prefer to use P-mount anyhow. I like to know where my devices are, and then they don't have funky labels or anything. And for me, P-mount is just, it's perfect. I have complete control over it. I can easily mount and unmount devices on the command line. It just works for me. GNOME, I like, you know, when I see GNOME, I like it. At times I think I should go try GNOME more often and play around with it. I used to be a bigger fan of GNOME than KDE when KDE was back in the 3.x phase. GNOME, to me, I preferred it over KDE. I kind of like some of the ideas of what they're pushing around with GNOME, the new release coming out, 3.0, or the 3.x releases with the different things. What I don't like about GNOME, one, I absolutely dislike the fact that you cannot switch desktops by using the scroller on the mouse, the scroll wheel on the mouse, unless you have your pointer over the pager, then you can scroll and it'll switch desktops. You can't do that by default in GNOME, by in a blank area of the desktop, which I can do in Fluxbox without a problem. I like that if I'm using a mouse at the time. When I use GNOME, I find Nautilus is not a file manager that I really appreciate or care to use. I do not like Nautilus. And I invariably strip GNOME down to looking just like Fluxbox anyway, so why bother using GNOME? I don't really care for gconf editor for managing certain things that you can't do through the GUI tools in GNOME, to bring that up. I respect gconf for what it is, but it's just not my kind of tool. And on a similar vein with KDE, I really like what they did with KDE 4, but then again, with all the widget stuff and stuff on icons on the desktop, what makes KDE appealing as KDE is the exact stuff I turn off and make it look like Fluxbox. Transitioning from KDE 3 to 4 was a little bit of a hurdle when trying to find certain system configurations or configurations of KDE that I wanted to play around with when I knew where they were in the past and had to rediscover where they were now, which wasn't insurmountable, but you know, and if I was given a choice of running GNOME or KDE 4 right now, I'd probably go with KDE 4. You know, Blackbox, Openbox were interesting. You know, Fluxbox is a little more robust, I think, and featureful than Fluxbox for my purposes. And Openbox, while nice and sweet, just, I don't know, I just preferred Fluxbox to Openbox. I think the both of those are great. XFCE is great. I do like XFCE as a desktop environment. And if I wasn't running Fluxbox, I would probably run XFCE. I like that one a lot. And again, it didn't suit my needs compared to Fluxbox. I was stripping Fluxbox or XFCE down to look like Fluxbox. So why settle for something that I think XFCE has wonderful configuration utilities, very lightweight, and integrates well with just about every kind of application. It's a solid choice. I do like Thunar as a file manager, but I don't tend to use file managers to begin with unless I just feel absolutely lazy and don't want to do it on the command line. So XFCE, two thumbs up, but I still think Fluxbox, to me, gets that pinky on top of it. WindowMaker, I always had a soft spot for WindowMaker.
WindowMaker's still cool.
It is cool. It's interesting. I find it getting a little long in the tooth and some glitchiness that doesn't play completely well in newer applications. I really do like it. It was one of my favorites for a long time. But again, with the dock apps, which are cool, I find that I would rather have the empty space and my desktop wallpaper coming through than with the dock apps. Ice Window Manager is a good choice on a low-end machine. But again, I still, you know, Fluxbox just calls back to me. The tiling window managers, Rat Poison, awesome, and those other
Rat
ones. I find them fun to use for a little bit, but I always invariably come to that point where if I run an application that has multiple windows that come open, managing those or maximizing them and just getting them to play nicely becomes more of a hassle for me than it does on other non-tiling window environments, which is, again, it's my workflow, how I'm used to working. The tiling window manager doesn't really fit the bill for me. We can go through all the other ones, but I just dig the crap out of Fluxbox. The tools that come with Fluxbox, FB set background for setting the backgrounds, you know, the FB run I use all the time, I really like, how it is configured with simple command line configuration tools down there, editing the menu system is pretty straightforward. I like the fact of applications being able to be assigned to specific desktops, so when you fire them up, they go right there and you know where they are. Being able to, you know, make an application by default sticky or unsticky when you fire it up, I found that it's pretty easy for managing all that kind of stuff. The FB keys file for setting up key shortcuts was easy. It's just second nature to me for whatever I want to do, and I like it. I like it a lot. Fluxbox is my window manager of choice above and beyond everything else.
I use Fluxbox, but I don't.
You're damn right. You should be using Fluxbox.
No,
I use
that's what IBM gives me.
Really?
IBM, yeah. IBM uses Fluxbox on their hardware management console for their P series machine. The Link ought to like that. But when he gets his P series boxes at work, but. Yeah, I just can't use it on a daily basis for me, though. I like the system tray-like area, you know, real well. Now with icons, I kind of just manage them. I like to have them, but I use the desktop differently than I ever did in Windows. I don't put a lot of icons on the desktop. Like, if I'm working on a project, what I might do, like, I might put, like, a folder of, like, if it's images, I might put images there, or I might put, like, a folder of, with documents, PDFs there, stuff that I go to all the time during a certain time. And then when I'm done with it, I either move it into my home regular home directory, or I delete it, depending on. So, but then for icons, you know, I have, like, one application icon on there, and I'm probably going to move it out. Up into the one of the toolbars, but I'm not a huge fan of when they switch to a. I remember when GNOME was originally just had one panel by default. Now it has two. Most distributions have, I should run two. But
yeah, you mean the one at the top and the one at the bottom, right?
Right. It kind of grew on me. I kind of like it now, and so now I just kind of keep those default, but and I'll have to agree with you. Nautilus, most of the times I don't have too much of a problem with Nautilus, but every once in a while Nautilus just likes to be a big pig of things.
Yeah.
And I'll double click on a driver or folder and it just kind of like goes, oh, I'm gonna open, okay. And you know, so. And I never was a huge fan of KDE, and definitely not after KDE 4.
You don't like KDE 4?
Well, I like it better than the old 3.5.1, which was out, like, forever. But I just don't like it. Now, I have a soft spot for both the old Enlightenment 0.1.6 and now the 0.1.7. I like it. I like Enlightenment a lot. But just because I like 3D effects, and I don't really like using Raster's widget set, you know, it seems like nothing standard anymore, you know. I guess Enlightenment, even 0.1.7, is kind of something for the old, you know, like 10 years ago. You know what I mean? It's not bad, but it's not that good anymore either.
You know, I'm sorry.
I got GNOME running. I got KDE running. I also have Fluxbox running. I like them all, you know. They're just different, you know.
Yeah. I like, you know, in GNOME and Ubuntu, I like the Netbook Remix Launcher quite a bit. but I don't use it on something like I have it on the Link because that's what they install by default, and it actually really works well on, to me it works well on something like that, where, you know, on the Link I'm usually on there for entertainment, you know, watching a video or something like that. Eventually it's going to be hooked up to a TV, but on my netbook, I use a regular GNOME desktop. I don't use a netbook style remix or netbook launcher on it. I think the thing I don't like about the remix is the fact that it maximizes every window, and I still actually will have like, you know, they might be a little teeny tiny, but I still use like Windows, kind of like more like you would on a bigger screen, but it's just on your netbook. So, about the only bright thing I will maximize all the way is my browser. So, but my browser or XChat, like Akaiga, I don't need it to be huge. I just need it to function. So, I don't maximize it, and that would annoy me on an Epic Remix. Just having that maximized the whole time I'm in it. So.
You know, I really want to like Enlightenment 17, and I do, but again, when I use it, I find that eventually there's just something about it that I just annoys me, and it just doesn't fit my workflow for some reason.
Yeah.
And I don't last very long on it.
That's how I'll try it, and that's exactly what I do. You know, I'll hey, let me try this for like a week, and then about day two, I'm like, okay, I'm sick of this crap. It's gone.
Yeah, I mean, I really like what it does. I like it. I find for some reason I feel like I should like it more than I actually do, and I don't know why.
Right.
I mean, it's cool. It does some really neat stuff, but there's just something about it that I just can't be comfortable with switching to it on a permanent basis.
Now, OpenBox, I tried that for an extended period of time. I loaded the Crunchy on my 7-inch, which I don't have any longer. I eBayed it, I liked it. My only problem was when I install apps, the menu wouldn't be auto-populated. Now, I don't know if that's been fixed or if they were going to make that a feature or if they're ever going to change that. But to me, when I install something, I want to see it on my menu right away. I don't really want... I work with my computer. I don't hack on tweaking out the desktop all the time. I actually have things to do on it. So I don't really have time. I install something, I gotta just be able to run it right then and there. From the graphical environment. So, file managers, I use them, but I don't use them often. I found
Conqueror and, you know, I will say Nautilus convenient for connecting graphically to network shares. But
I never
I
had it work with a Samba share.
Really?
Yep. It must be because at work we don't use Active Directory yet. We don't really, well, we do have a domain controller now, but it's not widely used yet. We're in transition to Active Directory, so, and Windows servers, so Novell's on its way out at our workplace.
No, eDirectory forever.
eDirectory sucks.
You don't like eDirectory? I like eDirectory.
Well, it wouldn't be so bad, but they try to, you know, we have RFTs around FDE's full-time enrollment equivalent, I think, is what that stands for. But we'll register like regularly, anywhere between 25 to 29,000, depending on what time of year it is per term. And they decided that the Novell guys decided that when they set eDirectory up, they were going to set it up with a geographical tree. And it is a pain. When somebody moves offices from one side of the campus to the other, they got to move from one container to the other, even though the job, their job may not even be changing, but they're just changing buildings. So they got to move them containers.
I thought that they were supposed to do away with having to do that.
Well, they probably did, but because this guy, one of the guys that works in that area, we have a nickname for his software. His last name's Stafford. He calls it. We call all his software Staffordware because he's the only guy that's going to understand it. When he retires or quits, we're going to be screwed. Because he writes all these little utilities to work with it and outside of the standards. And that's kind of a pain. I mean, it lets them get their job done, but the thing is to me, I've seen some of his stuff. It's not very well documented, and
of course not.
Knows how to use it. You know.
What's this thing you call documentation? Why?
Yeah,
you know what?
First off,
you expect documentation. Pat expects unlimited bandwidth. I can't wait to hear what Alan expects.
Women.
So you're going to the wrong concert then.
Actually, he's going to the wrong concert. He's just the wrong. What's that?
You should all be going to Def Leppard concerts if you want to see chicks.
There you go.
Yeah, chicks in spandex that are like 50 years old.
back in the day, man, when I was like, you know, younger and really into like the metal stuff, you know, I was into like Maiden and like Judas Priest and bands like that and stuff. We would still go to like the Def Leppard concert because that's where all the chicks were.
Yeah, chicks in spandex that looked good. They were like 18, 19, 20, 21.
Yeah, back in the day.
Now they don't look as good in spandex.
Now they're 35.
I just want go-go girls, that's all.
Do you want what girls?
Go-go girls.
Go-go girls.
Dancers.
50-year-old go-go girls in spandex.
That's a big thing. Racket.
Looks like somebody poured a gallon of mayonnaise.
I was going to say cottage cheese. Ugh.
Nothing wrong with that. Come on.
Start to take the conversation off, man. Derail that conversation.
Sorry about that.
So that's our take on window managers.
You know, I do have a question I wanted to bring up for people, for any of you guys who may have to use Windows. When you had talked about GNOME moving, a lot of distributions moving to two panels, one at the top and one at the bottom. I know that for a while there was also that some distros had a panel at the top and some had the main panel at the bottom. My dad always preferred to have whatever panel or whatever going from the top down, kind of like the old style, kind of like a Macintosh back in the day, the old Apple OS, because Apple OS 10 still has that same kind of thing, but they also have that panel at the bottom, the dock or whatever. Anyway, I know that back in the day, even with Windows XP, if you move that system tray or the bar, the toolbar down there, to any other place other than the bottom, it was just such a pain with regards to other applications that it never played well anywhere else. It would always get in the way.
Right.
Unless you had it at the bottom. Has that changed?
To me, no. I mean, no, I don't run Windows regularly enough now. Now, if everything works like I'm expecting it to at work, and I get a desktop and a laptop, my desktop's going to be running Linux. My laptop will be running Windows for the sole purpose of we use CompuTrace at work, and CompuTrace will not work on Linux. And that's what that is basically a theft deterrent, but if your laptop is stolen, this software will call home and basically they'll know where to go to retrieve the laptop, hopefully.
Wait, what's that have to do with the taskbars?
Well, but I have to run Windows on that, so I'll get to run Windows more, is what I'm saying.
You have to run Windows to prevent somebody from stealing your computer?
No, it's not to prevent it, because that can happen anyway. But it's basically so they can recover it, if possible. I don't think it has like a remote kill switch like the iPhone does. But it does. You know, they can at least tell what IPs, what areas, what area of the country they're in, and all kinds. So, and if
like
it doesn't,
places call, out that school district outside of Philly there that only activated the camera 56,000 times.
Yeah, it doesn't have that in it. But another thing it'll do.
That's
is
only
it will
a few to them, though.
Yeah, even when it's under your control, it'll periodically want to call home. And if it doesn't call home for X amount of time, our security admins are going to want to know about it, which is why I'm pretty much going to leave Windows on. So, I think. The only other computer operating system they support with CompuTrace is Mac OS X. And now, granted, I wouldn't mind a MacBook Pro. Those are sweet machines. But... And I'd much rather run Mac OS X than Windows, too, if I have to. But either way, they're both evil. So
I don't know. Well, I think Pat would shoot you if he saw you with an Apple at Self this year.
I wouldn't bring it to Self. I'm only bringing my netbook. So
you'd be going back home. You wouldn't be
That's
able to sit just down.
That's wrong, man. people showing up
you
at Linux conferences
conference.
with Macs, man. That's so bad, such bad form.
What if the Mac is running Linux, though?
You go up there and you do your presentation, and you use
good
the stupid Apple software to do the presentation. And
hey,
I'd walk out of that freaking presentation. Let me tell you.
At least we use Linux to record our show, unlike Jono.
You know what? I'm doing my presentation in a Keynote. How's that sound?
Is that what that was?
With an iPad?
An iPad, yeah, an iPad. No, I wouldn't. You know what? I figure Alan probably have an iPad by now, don't you, Alan?
He probably does.
No. No,
what are you waiting
I got
for?
To play with an iPad. A coworker
I
of mine got
one. Want one.
I want one. I want one only because it is.
I know,
because
I keep seeing
really
seeing your thing on Facebook all the time for the contest.
Yeah. Hey, worst comes worst. I can play with it for a little while, and I can eBay it. You know, but now I like
it's,
it.
It's, just,
it's a great concept. I mean, it really some of the things that Apple has done on it is just it's really really well done. It might be DRM to hell, lockdown to hell, but it's really well done. They did a great job. The iBook application is just fun to read in. You know, you sit there swipe, you know, as you move your hand across the screen, turning a page, you can. It's just like a page turner. You can like stop halfway, and it holds it halfway. You know, when you rotate the screen, like from portrait to landscape. The different parts of the window will move around and stuff depending on the application, and I mean I cannot find a lot to fault with it. You know, it's a nifty idea. Nobody has. I mean, I'm hoping to God the Android developers and other companies are developing these Android tablets can look at that and see what they've done right, because they've done a lot of things right. As much as I hate to say that, they've done a lot of things right. So, but I was.
Well, if you like the iPad so much, why don't you marry it?
Nah.
Well, what I want to know is why with the new alleged new iPhone, why are they going to a more square design? Means you got to use more loop.
Yeah, that's what I wondered too. The only thing I can figure out is that people are complaining about the hump in the back and how it doesn't sit right if you sit it on top of your desk. Which I could see that. But the band across the, you know, around the edge, that just doesn't make sense to me. With all those seams. I saw it and I said, seams? That's not Apple design. They don't put seams in their things. At least not visible ones. Ever since, I think that was ever since the Cube. You remember the G4 Cube? I still want one of those. I think that was one of the coolest machines they ever brought out. That was a neat machine.
How much? You could probably get one on eBay, can't you?
The bad thing with most of the PowerPC based Macs are still actually holding their value pretty well. I'll have to look. Let me look on eBay. That'd be interesting.
Which one are you looking for?
The G4 Cube.
Oh, yeah, I've seen cubes on there.
Yeah.
$134 for a 450 megahertz, 40 gigabyte, 512 megabyte RAM DVD with power supply. There's a lot going for repair, or parts repair.
Yeah. They're getting old, you know.
What I want to know is, how is a device, quote-unquote, green if you can't open the device yourself and replace the battery yourself? They just fucking throw away the whole thing and give you a new one? How the hell is that more green? Explain me that.
You know what they, Pat, you know what they do? They refurb it. They take that old one, take it back to Cupertino or wherever they go, take it apart, put a new battery in, clean it up, make it look good, and sell it on Apple's store and the refurbs. That's what they do.
No, they give it back. They give it back to people who have to get battery replaces.
That too. So. Yep. And the battery on those is freaking huge too. Huge battery.
On what? The Cube?
No, the iPad.
Oh, really? Is it?
The iPad, in fact, it's mostly battery.
Does it get hot?
When I was playing with it, it didn't really visibly get hot. But now there's all kinds of neat applications on there. My buddy, he runs Ampachi for streaming music from his house, and there's a app for that. Pardon the pun. Trying to remember, I don't think he bought any comic book apps. I hear a lot of people really digging like the Marvel comic book app on it, which I could see. It's probably very beautiful, but he didn't buy that. And then another big thing, there's one game that I just hear being bannered about, both iPhone and iPad, especially the iPad since they have a special version of it. And you can play it on the web. Plants vs. Zombies, you ever seen that game?
Yeah, I played it in Wine on
Linux.
It's
pretty fun, actually.
It is. It's a really fun game. It's just pretty cool.
But
if you haven't played it,
I hear it's really good on the iPad. Seriously. But then there's like Node apps, and you know, and he really hadn't bought a whole lot, although he did spend about $25 on apps.
When's the first? When are the first non-Apple pads supposed to be coming out? Tablets.
Dell's supposed to be bringing out some, I think. Am I right on that, Pat? I think they are. Let me look.
And these
I'm
are
not
gonna
sure.
These are going to be running. Is there any coming out from a major manufacturer that's going to be running Linux, or are they all going to be running Windows 7?
No, but the Dells are going to be running Android.
Android. It's not going to be one of these things where, you know, the first round that comes out is running like Android or a distribution of Linux, and they'll be on sale for 3 months till Microsoft realizes they missed the boat again, and then a year later they'll be like, well, they never sold well. Yeah, they'll all have Windows, and they'll say they never sold well because they weren't running Windows, and everybody who bought it wanted Windows on it. And then you can't get them anymore.
A couple days ago, the Dell Mini 5 coming to T-Mobile and AT&T.
How much is that?
I don't think anything's official on that. But that's basically, it's a 5-inch Android-based tablet / phone.
5 inches.
Oh. That'd be kind of huge to stick in your pocket, I'm thinking. Especially if you're going to use it on your phone. See, I think that's the one major Achilles heel to these tablets is, you know, they're kind of, a lot of them, especially the iPad itself, when we initially came on to campus Monday, he couldn't connect up to our wireless because we used Cisco Clean Access, and it wanted to install Clean Access on the iPad. So he had to go to our help desk and get an exception so he can connect to our wireless. But once,
can't you do that with Clean Access should authenticate through Java Web Start.
There's no Java on the iPad.
Oh, there isn't.
Just like there's no Flash.
Well.
It never will be Flash. But speaking of Flash, Adobe put out a couple web pages, one for Flash and one for Air for the Android operating system. So, no word on whether you have to have Android 2.1 or not. I'm saying a lot of people are saying that you'll probably have to have Android 2.1 to have it.
I put my name on the list for the beta for Flash. I mean, I'm no diehard, you know, Flash supporter, but...
No, but I want to watch Hulu on my phone.
Exactly.
Simple things. That's about all I really want Flash for. That and web navigation would be nice. So,
see, I know, I'm kind of like, you know, a tablet looks interesting. I don't think I'd want, like, a phone functionality built into it, because it's just, I can't see myself using it, unless it was, like, a SIP phone, or something like that, but a regular cell phone service, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, well, it's way too big.
Yeah, and I also thought about, too, like, you know, what do you do with your netbook a lot of times? Do you ever take your netbook to bed and use it while you're laying in bed? I do all the time.
I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
how are you
going to
do that with an iPad? That's my thing. How are you going to do that with an iPad?
What?
Use it in bed.
Why can't you use an iPad in bed?
I don't know. To me, you'd have to hold it up and it would be kind of heavy, you know? It is heavy. I mean, that's what...
Very heavy.
Oh, I think it's heavy. It's not really, really heavy. You know, it's light enough you wouldn't even notice it in your bag. But when you're trying to hold it up, like if you're using one of the reading apps, you can't do it one-handed like I can with my Kindle. I was reading my book, and I got on a bus downtown to transfer to go to work this morning. I had to stand up, and I was standing up holding onto the bar with one hand and reading from my Kindle in the other. And I had no problems, except for whenever the bus would, you know, turn a corner or something stupid. But, you know, I just sensed that before it happened and braced myself. But I couldn't do that with an iPad. For one, it's too big. And for two, it's just too heavy to hold up like that.
Have you guys checked out that Android tablets website? They have this one called the Neophony. It's huge, man. 11.6 inch screen. Yeah, 1366 by 768 display with a 1.66 Intel Atom processor.
Does it need an IRC?
Has a webcam. USB ports, flash card reader. I agree. We want to see something on the market soon, you know?
They're going to have to...
Just so that it's out there, you know?
Yeah. Something better than the Arcos... I read reviews of the Arcos 5 Android tablet. They suck. Really bad.
Yeah. Don't they, like, disable, like, a whole bunch of stuff, like codecs and stuff? You have to pay money for, like, codec packs and whatnot?
Well, you can't sell the marketplace isn't there. Yeah. Marketplace isn't there. I don't think you can install APKs right out of the bat either. So, yeah, but no, I heard of things like for example, this guy fired up a movie, had his headphones plugged in, and he was getting no sound. Well, the sound was playing out the speakers. So he unplugged and plugged back his headphones back in, still the sound was coming out of the speakers. The device wasn't detecting that he had the headphones plugged in. Those are the kinds of things I hate, is when there's somebody comes out with a poor implementation of a Linux-based device, be it a netbook or a tablet or something like that. People get a hold of that, and even though it's one device out of many that are implemented correctly, it gives Linux a bad name. So, just pisses me off when I see stuff like that. Neophony. Okay. Have to look that one up. There's also one, that one with the Pixel QI display. I can't remember the name of that one. What is it with them doing all these Android tablets from Germany? That's where that Neophony is from, too, just like the WePad.
Which one were you just talking about? A what display?
Pixel QI. It's a PIXELQI.
Are you talking about the Notion Ink, Adam?
Yeah, that thing looks neat.
Wonder how much that's going to run. Oh, between $300 and $800.
Yes. Yeah, the Notion Link, Adam.
And then there's that Italian one, the Passan. $199 now it's supposed to go for.
Yeah, Notion Ink's Adam. In fact, here we go. Oh, Nick's gorgeous looking, too. I don't think it would replace a netbook for me. What about you guys?
I don't see myself buying one of these frickin' things. I just don't see myself. I have an Android phone that kicks in.
Actually, you know what I think it would be good for, Pat? A Myth TV remote.
I got that already with my phone.
That's an awful big Myth TV remote.
Yeah, maybe if you're blind.
Cool, well, see, that brings up another point, too. How is the blind supposed to use a smartphone?
A blind
Someone
person?
I know could use it. Yeah, like an iPhone. Not going to happen. I've shown my phone to I have a friend who's legally blind. He can see, but he's legally blind. And he
That's
can't
peg
see.
Wool.
Yeah, he has to hold it up to his about 2 inches from his eye in order before he can see it. He has a rough time seeing any of those guys. I've shown him like a couple different pocket PCs and a smartphone, and he can't see nothing.
Isn't that the same as asking how can a visually impaired person use X, Y, or Z though too? I mean,
but see, he can see well enough. He uses LCDs and monitors at work. You know, he's not to the point where he can't see anything. All right,
yeah, but he has to lean like really up, really close to him, though, doesn't he?
Yep, got
like
right
practically on
it.
Top of it. I mean, yep. He can't really play a DS, can he?
Nope.
I mean, you do have a point, though, there, too. I mean, I can see a tablet being more beneficial to somebody. With
yeah.
a larger screen.
Well, you can increase the display size, just, you know, so that you can at least get hold it at a level where you can actually use it, you know, where you can actually stick your other hand in there and type on it.
Yeah, I mean, the tablets look cool. I don't know if I'd get one over a regular laptop or even a netbook at this point.
Yeah, well, see, and that's why I look at, too, you know, like $500 for the iPad, the lowest-end iPad, Dude, you can buy yourself a kick-ass netbook for that. It does 100% more.
Well, let's see what offerings do I have for $500 at Frostbite Systems?
$500 at, I know $500 at ZA Reason will get you a netbook with 2 gigs of RAM and a 500 gig hard drive. At least it did when they had them. I don't think they have many.
All right, Frostbite System starts at $699, so that's is that a reason?
I don't know. I think they still have it, or they introduced another one, I thought.
The Teo Netbook at $459 starts at $459.
Yep.
Although that... Let me take a look at that.
Ooh,
I
that would... That's the new Intel NM10 chipset. GMA 3150.
Oh, you know what? I like that keyboard on there. That's a keyboard I could love. No, it's an actual keyboard. It doesn't have like it's not missing a shift key or it doesn't have something in the
Mine's
wrong place.
Mine's not missing a shift key.
Well, mine is. Mine doesn't have a left side shift
key. You have a
key.
Little itty bitty one. You don't
right
have a 10-inch screen.
No, it's a 10-inch screen.
Really?
No, it's a 9-inch screen, I think.
Okay.
Anyway, it doesn't have a... Let me see what system...
That you know what? That's nicer than their first... The TO or... I would say that's nicer than their first one. The first one they had didn't have that much on it.
Starling Netbook or Starling EduBook start at $359 on... System 76. Let me see what their keyboard looks like. Wow, they got a nice keyboard too.
I see what they did with their netbook, though.
Huh?
I see what the ZA Reason did with their netbook. Their original netbook, you can actually basically say what you want in it. Now you can't. The only thing you can say is what OS release you want on it. And you can choose from Fedora 12, Linux Mint 8, Kubuntu 10.4, Netbook Remix 9.10, Netbook Remix 10.4, Ubuntu 9.10, and Ubuntu 10.4.
Why doesn't Frostbite System sell a netbook?
So that is a nice netbook actually.
On what?
That looks really nice.
On the Reason?
Yeah.
The TL. Let me go back to that.
I like the hoverboard's not a netbook, but I like the idea of the hoverboard and the Strata. It's not the Strata. The hoverboard.
What's so special about the hoverboard?
It's really thin.
Yeah.
Really thin.
And it starts at what? $699. Oh, what's a keyboard on that look like? They won't show me a full-size keyboard. Why'd they show me just the angle of the keyboard? Why can't I get a picture of the keyboard? I would assume it's a full-size keyboard.
You got a
keyboard,
song to play us out, Dan.
Yeah, I got a song to play us out. I'm not done talking about these. Although the TO right. book looks really nice.
It does, don't it? I haven't been talking to Kathy Malmrose lately. I should. If she's got any reviews. Jonathan's supposed to be sending me one of his review units, Frostbite. I think he's saying closer to the end of the month. He should have it. So.
That's a pretty sweet system. Alright, I do have a song to play us out tonight, unless you guys have anything else you want to add. No?
Guess not.
I'm good, man. Let's say goodnight to everybody. Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight,
thanks for listening.
Da, 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 da.
No, wait.
Goodnight,
interwebs. Gotta do like night, Link. Nighty night.
Nighty night.
Sassy says nighty night, too.
Who's Sassy?
My dog.
Uh-oh. All right, tonight...
She said her name, now she's wagging her tail.
Let me bring up... I can't wait for the next release of Video Land Client. I'm excited. But I don't want to go out. I want it stable, in the stable.
Did you watch V yet, Pat, this week?
Yes, I did.
Ah, oh, wasn't it good? I thought it was.
I'm liking it.
Yep. I'm finally caught up this morning.
I have not been caught up on this season yet.
Yep. It's good. Well, it's going great, I think. The only thing I'm a little worried about is that moving it to 10 probably killed it for a lot of people. I know it did at work. Those who didn't.
I don't know. I record all that stuff. I don't watch shows live.
You watch it on YouTube.
Very rarely. That's right. And I use my OSD to bring it down to a level where I can watch it anywhere. Another plug for Joe Bourne. You should just start paying me.
You should.
We should.
Sponsor us.
All right. Ready for the song of the week is from...
The week.
Drop Alive, from the album Drop Alive, called Poser Loser. Song goes out to Dave Yates.
All the posers and
Poser
losers.
Loser.
Dave Yates, who posted on the topic list for today and didn't bother to show up.
didn't come
yet. I'll put it back. I'll put it at the top of next week's show. Do we have a guest next week?
We don't have a guest next week yet.
Okay.
So I'll just go ahead and retry.
I don't think we have any guests until when? Dolph, right?
Yeah. Nothing listed.
Nothing.
We might have some.
I'm sure we'll have somebody before then.
Yeah.
Hoping so.
All right. Here it is, your song of the week, Poser Loser. Mute yourself, gentlemen. Nighty night.
Thanks for listening. Good night.
Fast on, fast and quick. Yeah, we have.
Over here. Do you want to buy this? It's the center of the open source universe. I picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner. It's a bargain. Oi! Oi, come back. Oh. I'm going to have to find something to do with this. Hold on a minute. Yes, that's right. On the 1st and 2nd of May this year, Liverpool is the only place to be for anyone interested in free software, free culture, and free thinking. It's the second live OggCamp event, organised by the Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. We've taken the mantle from Lug Radio Live, and we're not giving it back. The 1st and 2nd of May 2010 at the Blackie, Liverpool. Visit ogcamp.org for more details. Also join us on Friday, April 30th for a special free culture gig. Kick off the weekend in style with some great live music. But you might want to leave your hubcaps at home.
Join us for the 2010 Southeast Linux Fest as we once again celebrate Linux and open source software in the GNU/South. Due to the overwhelming response last year, this year's event will be bigger, better, and longer. SELF 2010 will take place Friday, June 11th through Sunday, June 13th at the Spartanburg Marriott at Renaissance Park in Spartanburg, South Carolina. Be there for UbuCon, Fedora Activity Day, BSDA certification, Drupal Camp, multiple parties featuring dual core as well as the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000 as riff tracks, and an even more expansive group of superb speakers, sponsors, and exhibitors. SELF is free to attend, but hurry and register today to lock in the special discount room rate at the hotel. Register today at southeastlinuxfest.org.
Talk about the new search of computers?
Can we talk about multiprocessing?
Can we talk about Beowulf clusters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just talk geek to me.
Just talk geek to me.
Hey, it's Deep Geek. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us. Thank you.
Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Yeah. Yeah. Friggin' over.
Dude, that worked out good, man.
It did. Wait, what are you talking about? Your burp?
The Google Docs. That worked too.
I liked it.
I just deleted the one and basically renamed it and wiped out all the stuff. So
works for me.
We can just build up from next week, and then I don't have to plug everybody's name in there again.
There you go.
Mr. Negativity Link. Why can't we just put it in the calendar? The calendar's limited.
Ba 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 ba. All right.
Let's see about our codec thing, man.
Yeah, you know what? This show doesn't sound bad right now. I'd be interested to see how it turns out in the recording.
The music sounded a little crunchy at the beginning.
Yeah, but I'm going to rip that out and put the actual file in. That's what I did last week. Because it doesn't come through well on the recording.
After I'm in, and I don't really listen again.
No, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
We just get Pat to listen to us while he writes the show notes. Is he still on? Hope he didn't hear that.
Yeah, because we did vary, and we probably always will. I mean, it's good to have a good guide, I think, but we don't need to have it, like, lockstep, what's the Colonel Panic one segment? There's, like, one segment they really have now, the panic attack. That's it.
Yeah.
Peter 64's little thing. are they just going to keep it two separate shows, or are they ever going to just get back together, the regular cranks? Hello?
Oh, I muted myself. I don't know.
I'm sorry. I mean, not that I mind, don't mind having yet another podcast to listen to.
Well, 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 Mr. Joel McLaughlin, I have to stop the recording. Say bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Testing. 1, 2, 3, testing. Hello?
Hello.
Alan.
Yes. It sounds
okay.
Much clearer now.
All right, stay on a second.
No problem.
I'm trying to figure out which one of us is causing this thing to go kablooey.
Hopefully it's not me. I think Pat was calling in. He's got no upstream right now, so he can't use the gizmo or anything. So he's actually has to dial in.
Fucking sucks, man.
Oh, there he is. 2 for 2.
All right. Wait a second. Who killed it though?
Gorkon?
I don't know.
Well, no, it was doing it. It was crapping up before Gorkon got on, though.
Oh.
Right now.
Who was that?
I don't know. I was guessing Gorkon, but Joel, is that you?
Sounds like a machine gun.
Are you called in through Broad Voice, Pat?
Huh? I'm calling in through a regular number, through Broad Voice. Yeah, through a regular number.
What is
my upstream is fucked. My internet connection is completely fucked up. My upstream. RCN's fucking turning the screws on me.
Alright, well.
Can you steal a wireless from a neighbor?
I probably could.
see if your phone connects to a neighbor's house. Hey, why not?
Maybe my cell.
Yeah, then you put the cell on and see if you can get in through the SIP client.
All right,
See if you can catch a neighbor's Wi-Fi.
Let me see if I can do it.
Got to be somebody open in the neighborhood there.
It's the weird thing is I don't think it's Pat.
No, because if it was him, he would be doing it all the time too.
Yeah, yeah.
It would just be popping out. Hey Dan, while we're fishing out issues here on your diagram, what's the sound card that's connected to butt? What's that actually doing?
That's a stream.
That sends a stream out.
Okay.
Yikes. Let me see if I can mute off my neighbor's Wi-Fi connection.
Wait a second. Let me see. Frame type. What is a frame? What is going on with his connection? This is great. Here's the error. Ask to transmit frame type 4 while native format is 0x1000. So I'm going to assume frame type 4 is ULAW, which it shouldn't be. Wait, it's got to be, and everybody else is connected.
Alright, Gorkon's going to play around with his router and stuff too. So.
Okay, hold on a second.
Oh, I'm impressed. Everyone's got security running. We got WPA2, we got WEP, and we got WPA.
You can crack the WEP, but it's probably more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I sound fine. We don't have anybody scheduled to dial in, so.
No, you know what? I wouldn't worry too much about how you sound. You do sound fine.
Yeah.
Do you know what really is a pain in the ass here? What is a pain in the ass is that is Pulse Audio. I'll tell you what.
Are you just realizing now that Pulse Audio is a piece of shit?
I can get Pulse Audio to work, but the problem I have is when I get Pulse Audio to work, I have volume control in three different channels. I have it in Awesome Mixer, I have it in Audacity itself, and I have it in PAV.
Ouch.
I have it in PAVU control.
It's shit, that's what it is. Absolute fucking shit is what it is.
There is no reason why. No reason whatsoever why our listeners cannot be enjoying
Oba.
The sounds of Gorkon connecting.
You didn't start the stream?
No, not yet. I'm going to do that right now.
So what codec do you want him to use, Dan? That's what he's asking you in the admin channel. I have no clue what a gizmo is actually using.
I think it's SIP.
No.
Not for nothing, SIP is not the greatest thing to use. Not the best codec. That link that I put had like talks about all the different other codecs. Yeah.
Whoa. Is he on now? Is that you, Joel?
That's me.
You just connected from another location?
No.
Somebody just connected, or it looked like somebody just connected.
I yawned. Man, Iron Man 2, they're freaking marketing the shit out of that. Audi? Have you seen that commercial?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's on every freaking channel, like right now. I've seen it like on three different channels.
Yeah, Gizmo doesn't actually give you a choice.
No, that's the only thing you can do it with.
Oh, well, it's the only one that works for me right now, so I'm stuck with it.
Hold on. Let me see here.
I know with Twinkle, you used to be able to change the which codec you wanted to use.
There we go.
Hello.
Found it.
Hey. Luckily.
I was using the wrong bit rate of speaks.
Oh, there we go.
I was using 16K, not 8K.
Alright.
Weird.
Okay.
Ikaiga doesn't have a G711, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's the next question, man. Which clients support G711?
Linphone does, SJ Phone does. We're all connected by G711 right now. Except
really?
For Joel, who's under Speaks.
Right.
You have to be careful about which speaks you use. I got to find out why I'm not getting the higher speaks.
Yeah, I had 8K work. I have 16K checked, so it should try that first. But let's see.
Okay.
Let me pull up my stupid doc.
Alan?
Yes?
What was the question you had then about the card going in the butt? What about it?
Oh, I'm just trying to see on your label what card does what. And
well,
butt
Alan,
was sort of like, you know, butt was a sort of question there. Because your arrow was going the wrong way. Shouldn't the butt be feeding into the mic, not out of the mic?
That's a nice butt.
Let me go to my diagram here. You know what? We should have a link to the wiki right off the front page.
And then there's G711. That's another one.
G711 is EULAW.
It's supposed to be high bit rates. I'm looking. It could be 16, 24, 32, or 40 kilobits. But 32 kilobits is de facto standard. Because Asterisk currently only supports 32 kilobits. 32 kilobits is pretty high.
Yeah.
Again, you know, I go to that list of codecs that I listed. Which client supports them, you know? Which client lets you jump from one to the other?
Hey, Dan,
actually,
not tonight. Not tonight, but for the next show. Change the, on your System 76 box, move that output to one of the other, to 5.6 instead of where it is now.
Why do you recommend that?
Because
the slider for that particular channel controls both the input and output on that channel, where the other ones are only just strictly inputs. So that could be that when you get all that feedback issues on it, that may be part of it, more part of the problem.
Yeah. Just found a bug on Launchpad 3 Taiga. PCMA and PCMU, PCMA or PCMU equal G711.
Did we start the show yet?
No,
I didn't start the
show yet. Wait, I got a question right now.
Let's be official.
And they're only those two are only 8 kilohertz ones, so.
Which ones?
PCMU
Alan, are
and
you,
PCMA.
Alan, are you recommending I switch the 3-4, the input going into 3-4 to 1 or 2?
No. You have the output from your System 76 box going over to the 9-10. Move it over to 5-6, but not tonight.
Don't do it right now.
We've already had 20 minutes worth of screw-ups.
Yeah, picking around here.
Because like I said, the slider for that one, I think, controls both the input and that channel has an input and an output.
Ah!
Damn it, I was going to shut that off before the show started. That's a little
what the hell
was
that?
That was my dryer. Okay. So I think that's why, well,
it's a guess, only because it depends on how you play things, you know, into the audio. But like I said, if that's controlling both the input and output, when you try to like turn up the outputs to play like the promos and stuff and the intros, that's where you could be getting some feedback. Just try it. I mean, it doesn't hurt. You've got an extra port there anyway, so
it hurts me.
Well, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know you'll have to update the schematic if it works.
Yeah, well, that's not a problem. It's all done and die anyhow.
All right, start the show.
I'm going to start the show.
Oi, over here.
Have you ever heard of that one?
Do you want to buy this?
What?
Which is Voiper?
Sensor of the open source universe. Picked it up last year in Wolverhampton. Only one careful owner. It's a bargain. Oi, come back. Oh. Now I have to find something to do with this. Hold on a minute. Yes, that's right. On the 1st and 2nd of May this year, Liverpool is the only place to be for anyone interested in free software, free culture, and free thinking. It's the second live OgCamp event, organized by the Linux Outlaws and the Ubuntu UK podcast. We've taken the mantle from Lug Radio Live, and we're not giving it back. The 1st and 2nd of May 2010 at the Blackie, Liverpool. Visit ogcamp.org for more details. Also join us on Friday, April